Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. So this week I had intended on doing an interview show, but my guest rescheduled for next week. Jacob is busy. He'll probably be back on the show in a couple weeks. In the meantime, I went to last week's guest and my good friend and the the managing interest editor at Anime News Network, Lindsay Leverage, is back. Hey, Lindsay.
Hi.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. We were like, well, what should we talk about? And it's like, well, let's just watch something. Pick something that's like 10 to 12, you know, episodes or something. We can get through that and talk about it. And I was like, hey, how about this Sirius the Jaeger thing on Netflix? I've been meaning to watch that. This sort of original PA Works vampire show.
Yeah.
And you were like, vampires, sure.
Yeah, sure. I'm always down for some vampires. So
we'll talk about that in a bit. Briefly, I wanted to mention I saw Us, the Jordan Peele horror film, his follow-up to Get Out, last night. I will not spoil anything. I will say
I'm seeing it this evening.
Yeah, I won't spoil anything. Well, and like honestly, it's the kind of movie where like if you get spoiled, it's like, well, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, I kind of got that impression. I've been like, I saw the original trailer when that got released, and basically if I see the title of the movie anywhere on Twitter, I just scroll past really quickly. I'm like, yeah. I don't want to know anyone's takes. I don't want to know, you know, what any of this symbolism means. Nope.
If you didn't want a take, you came on the wrong show. No, I just briefly, I wanted to say like, it's like wildly ambitious, like thematically extremely ambitious. It's a lot packed into a small space, I would say. Like, mm-hmm. I liked it. It's not as focused as Get Out was, and I think that's largely reflected in the reviews. The reviews are like, well, this is good. It's challenging, and like, it's a bunch of themes that are abstracted within an inch of their lives. I liked it. It was good. But I'm curious to hear what you think. And frankly, like after watching it, I'm kind of like, well, I'm looking forward to reading what people say about this movie.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that. I think it's sort of big art. Like, it's a horror movie, first and foremost, but it is definitely art, like, you know, capital A art.
Wow.
Kind of a thing. Well, but that's not like, that doesn't mean good or bad. It just means like it's super arty. It's a really arty kind of a movie. But yeah. Anyway, so I caught that. It was good. I recommend you go see it if you like allegorical horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which
weirdly,
is like my favorite. That's my favorite horror. Like, if it's taking, you know, these sort of like base monsters or ideas that we have and pulling societal issues or anxieties or things like that out of them, that's my favorite thing.
All right. Well, you're in for yet another one of those from Jordan Peele. So there you go. I'm really curious to hear what you think of it. So Sirius the Jaeger was dumped on Netflix a couple months ago. It originally aired, last summer, I think?
I know that it got announced during Anime Expo last year. So maybe it aired in the fall of 2018 or something like
it
that.
Aired, well, regardless, it aired 12 episodes. It aired last year. It's an original PA Works production. You don't get too many original anime anymore. Like, this is a story that people who worked on the team came up with. It's Masahiro Ando, who directed Sword of the Stranger, which is like PA Works, like, you know, everyone talks about that movie in these hushed and sort of reverent tones. But it's him working with PA Works. I thought the show looked really good.
Didn't check the credits before watching it, but knowing that now it kind of makes some of the action sequences make more sense. I haven't seen Sword of the Stranger, but I know that one of the big things people talk about is it having really excellent sword choreography. fights in it.
Right, yeah, the fights are good.
Yeah.
I went into this thinking, like, well, I'm not sure if this is just going to be Netflix, and Netflix is kind of a pejorative term that I use for digestible, forgettable, kind of whatever.
Right.
Like, well, I didn't dislike that, but I also won't remember a damn thing about it starting now. Like, the minute it's over. That was sort of
my experience with Be the Beginning. Did you watch that?
Yeah, I didn't watch all of it, but I saw, like, 3 or 4 episodes of it and thought, oh, this is Netflix.
Yeah, I watched it while on medical leave last year. Yeah. So all I could do was lay in bed, and I was like, I guess I'll watch this.
Yeah, Sirius the Jaeger. Like, and we were like, well, what should we watch and talk about? And I think the more interesting than anything about Sirius the Jaeger is like this kind of phenomenon of totally disposable to the point where it feels like there's almost nothing to talk about.
Mm.
To the point, like, that level of disposability. Before I get into that stuff, the show itself is okay. About well, how would you sum it up?
Okay, so it takes place in turn of the century Japan, mostly
the 30s.
It's the 30s.
Taisho era.
Yeah. And we've got a ragtag group of vampire hunters.
Called Jaegers
from around the world. You've got your typical highbrow elitist vampires threatening humanity. Mm. And for at least half of it, you've also got some sort of military versus I guess you could call them traditionalist faction sort of going on behind the scenes, but that resolves itself about halfway through.
Yeah. It's kind of a red herring.
Yeah.
And in the middle of all of this is, what's his name? Yuli.
I mean, he's got an Eastern European name, so Yuli, I guess, is how you might say it.
Yuli.
And he is the last survivor of a clan of werewolves.
Right, called the Sirius.
Yeah.
S-I-R, sort of like the Harry Potter character.
Yeah, it's reference to the constellation, the dog constellation, so.
Yeah, weird that in Harry Potter, the werewolf character has like two, like his name is like two dog names.
Remus Lupin. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So Remus is from Roman mythology. Yeah. And then Lupin
is
French.
But then names his like best pal, Sirius Black.
Yeah.
Whose name is spelled the same way. Maybe that was also like, oh, but see, he likes the dog. So that's fucking J.K. Rowling. Anyway. So the Sirius clan was wiped out completely. Like, it's a lot of Sasuke. Like, this is basically Sasuke's storyline.
From Naruto,
where vampires come in, they're like, you have this MacGuffin, which is basically the same, almost the exact same MacGuffin as in the Assassin's Creed series, where it's like this glowing golden ball that contains all of knowledge or whatever and has some sort of divinity to it.
Right.
But it's just a stupid MacGuffin that, like, it doesn't really mean anything. The vampires show up for the Arc of Sirius, or the Sirius Arc, or whatever the hell it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Wipe out the village, except for Yuli's brother, whose name I now cannot remember.
Mikhail.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
His name is Mikhail. He has white hair and a scar over his eye.
He has a bunch of scars all over his face.
He has a lot of... They're hot scars, though. They're not like ugly scars. They're Naruto scars. He gets sired into vampirism by the big bad vampire. So then Yuli decides that it's his destiny, I guess, to get this Arc of Sirius back. Both he wants it, the army wants it, and the vampires want it. The vampires want the Arc of Sirius to cure a disease that is ravaging vampires.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Which is just like a motivation for them all to need the same thing. Like, the vampire disease was basically sort of brought up out of nowhere.
It only showed up like within the last 4 episodes.
Yeah.
So it was like, we need to cure the vampire disease, and also we want to use this to rule over all of Earthkind.
Yeah, to become the superior, the alpha species.
Yes.
So, Yuli's got to get this thing back. It's also connected to his father. You know, he's the last surviving Sirius guy, so he's got to protect it. Mm-hmm. Fights the vampires, fights his brother for a little while. Gets the arc.
Fights some Frankensteins. Fights, don't forget Frankensteins.
There's Frankensteins, yeah. This Week in Anime had a good comment. They said, like, it's weird how little you remember of this, given that it has vampires, werewolves, vampire werewolves, Frankensteins, and vampire Frankensteins.
Yes.
Like, all of those things in one show, and yet, it's hard to walk away from it with anything other than all right. Like, are they making more of that? I don't, maybe not.
I don't think there needs to be any more of
it. No, weirdly. Like, I didn't, like, they barely fleshed out anything. Like, the only character, there's, like, two characters that get development. One of them is the main character, and the other one is, like, his brother, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it. Like,
yeah.
None of the other characters, like, they have that whole squad of ragtag, look at their personalities, and they're crazy, and they're
got a giant Irishman.
Yeah, their outfits, look at these character designs we came up with, basically.
Yeah,
and their distinctive outfits.
Right.
So you can tell them all apart. But they're given they're given like really weak little like 2 second backstories.
Right. The professor is basically like Indiana Jones, right? That's sort of
effectively, yeah.
Yeah. That's like his whole shtick. I felt like there's, you know, this overarching theme of coexistence. It was a little bit interesting given that 1930s Imperial Japan is not
a coexisting kind of a place.
No, I mean, they even briefly mentioned at one point that the reason the military wants it is because they have campaigns going on in Manchuria and stuff like that. They're going to use it over there. And I'm just like, oh, okay. are you guys going to talk about that at all? Like, I feel the entire time I felt like, I could only side-eyeing or like only sort of root for the Major Iba, who's the military main character who ends up joining up with them. Cause it's like, yeah, you're still working for a fascist government.
Yeah. So. But the show doesn't get into any of that. Like,
no, it never does. It was kind of like Joker's game. They didn't really want to get into that.
It's just a backdrop. Like, it's not like how many people really know what the Hyakko party was? Like, cause they don't really explain it.
Right.
And it doesn't really have that much to do with anything. Like, I guess I get a little like, well, what then, why bother setting it in the '30s? Like, why bother if you're not going to actually do anything interesting or educate people a little bit? Like, because, like, in my opinion, like, if you're going to make something a period piece, there should probably be a reason for it to be a period piece rather than just, like, no cell phones, which is basically, like, this is easier to write with everything's easier to write without cell phones.
Maybe they just really like trains and dirigibles.
Yeah, sure, cool, but, like, you know. I don't know, like, give us a little bit of the history, like, have the characters directly involved in history so that you're doing something. Like, it's not like it's like this horrible thing that no one should ever do, just use it as a backdrop. But I feel like this one in particular kind of wasted the potential because it's a really politically fascinating
time. Yeah.
Well, complicated too.
Yeah.
And I could walk away with this with a better understanding of Taisho era Japan or not. No, we're not.
I mean,
it's just trying to be entertaining. It feels like the only thing it's interested in is being entertaining and keeping the story moving, and that's it.
Right. And the overall coexistence thing, I was like, is that supposed to be any kind of commentary on that particular time period and that it was wrong? Or am I just like reaching really hard for something out of this? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, So when it was over, I was like, well, nice animation, but I know I'm going to forget absolutely everything about this as soon as I'm finished taping this show. It will exit my brain, and I don't think I'm going to think about it again. And that is sort of increasingly true, especially when it comes to Netflix stuff.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, obviously Devilman and Aggretsuko... most of the stuff on Netflix is like this.
Right.
And it, in my opinion, there's nothing to talk about with it. It's so hard to, like, because it feels like the intention is that thematically it's not going to do anything ambitious at all. It's just gonna try to be entertaining and keep your attention for 10 to 12 episodes, and then that's it. And it's gonna sit in a little box, and then eventually it'll disappear, and you'll never think about it again because the algorithm won't bring it back around into your feed.
I'm trying to think of, other than Be the Beginning, what else there is.
Knights of Sidonia, okay. In my opinion, was kind of like that.
And I'll admit, I didn't touch that one because of the 3D CG, and it was kind of waxy looking.
Right. Yeah.
And it's old by this, I guess, by standards now, right?
A djinn, demi-human.
Right. I liked the manga of that, but I also didn't watch the anime version.
Pretty much Aiko Incarnation.
Oh, okay, yeah. That was a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Kakegurui was a little bit better. But again, also, honestly, not really something that I thought about much after finishing it. Like, it was entertaining for a little while, but
I marathoned that over a couple days, and I couldn't tell you anything about it. Yeah. I'll watch the second season, too, and I'm not really sure why. So maybe it, like, implanted something in the back of my head. It's like,
yeah,
and tune back into that when it comes back on. Why? I don't know, but I'm gonna. I don't.
Totally. Yeah. Like, even Fate Apocrypha is kind of like that. It's kind of like that.
There was Violet Evergarden. I had the Kyoto animation.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
I didn't watch it either.
Nope, no thanks. Not into the robot waifus. But I guess people liked the beginning of Dragon Pilot, but the show kind of didn't really fulfill its promise, from what I heard.
Yeah,
I liked
to check that one out.
I liked High Score Girl. High Score Girl was good.
Okay.
But, well, okay. I liked all the video game trivia and recreations and stuff in High Score Girl, but it was a lot more harem-y than I expected.
Okay. But it appealed to your nostalgia factor with the video
I
game.
Enjoyed seeing, you know, Street Fighter 2 and, like, half of that. The episodes are only 13 minutes, and so, like, half of the show is the main character going, oh, wow, this is a original Street Fighter cabinet. And he'll explain the mechanics of the original Street Fighter and what's different about it. And it's like, I already know all that stuff, but it was an entertaining way to present it. And then basically, like, he gets a real gamer girlfriend who doesn't want anything to, or winds up being separated from him. So he starts dating this filthy casual who eventually starts getting better and better. And then it's like, which girl will he pick? The filthy casual or the real gamer, the unicorn real gamer girl. That's what it turns into. And I was kind of disappointed with that stuff. But the video game stuff was fun. I enjoyed that part.
There's going to be more of that one. I think they just announced a second season of that or something.
There's a bunch of manga and it gets even more harem-y. Like, apparently,
does it?
Yeah, okay. Apparently even more. It introduces even more girls for him to, which one should I pick? Like, that kind of stupid shit.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm hoping that, I mean, obviously they had Devilman, but, like, a lot of this stuff is just a distribution deal. It's not like Netflix was directly creatively involved in it.
Right.
So we're going to start seeing more of that stuff where they were directly involved in its production. But they have a history of just letting people just make whatever the heck they want according to everything I've heard. It's like, no, they don't tell us what to make. We just make this. But if this is just what they're making, like, okay, we got 12 episodes, we're just going to make Sirius the Jaeger. I don't know. It just, it just feels like content.
Yeah.
Like small,
like it's just
content.
Filling some kind of hole that maybe isn't even
need to be
need
filled.
To be filled in the first place. Yeah.
Well, there's a fuck ton of vampire anime. And we were talking about this. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not sure how much there really is to say about that show. It's just plot. It's just plot, 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 over.
Yeah,
it's done.
Yeah,
which leaves not much to say because the only real theme, like you said, was like, "Hey, maybe coexistence."
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's there to say? Nothing. But it was like, well, it's a vampire thing, and both you and I have histories with vampire stuff.
when you word it just that way, it sounds a little more interesting than you and I. We both have history with vampires.
Yeah, well, yes. I woke up in a coffin this morning. And,
yeah.
I think I started reading the Anne Rice stuff when I was like 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I was like really into Vampire the Masquerade for like the late 90s and the early 2000s.
Sure.
And I've seen like a fuck ton of, I don't know, I've just always kind of been into it.
You're right. Yeah.
I had a really heavy goth phase in the late 90s and the early 2000s too. So like, you know, I've sought this stuff out. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I have sought this stuff out.
Yeah. For me, with vampires, I didn't read Anne Rice at 12, but I read Poppy Z. Bright.
Oh, God. That's like porn, isn't it?
A friend lent it to me in like eighth grade. And so, which one was it? I can't remember the actual title, but
Those books are absurd. It's like those books seemed like a parody of like sexy vampire fiction for ladies. Like,
yeah.
It really seemed like a parody to me.
Yeah. Well, when I was 12, I remember there a couple distinct parts of that book. I remember a lot of it. It took place in New Orleans. I remember one of the characters' eyes was described as being chartreuse. And I do remember a sexual scene. The main girlfriend, not a vampire, doesn't shave her armpits, but she perfumes them. And for some reason, that always stuck with me. Even now, I remember that specific detail about her. I don't know. But
Poppy Z. Bright when you're 12.
Yep. I read Poppy Z. Bright when I was 12. And probably saw Vampire the Masquerade around the same time, or maybe even I was a little bit younger. My parents sort of let me watch any horror movies I wanted as a kid. Like, that wasn't regulated at all. And so I saw a lot of horror movies at a pretty young age. But, so really got into just vampire fiction around that time. And Brad Pitt in Interview with the Vampire. A lot of that.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters. I like that movie, the adaptation of Interview with the Vampire. I'm sure there's another one coming soon enough, but I liked it. I really liked the Tom Cruise one. I think it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
It's a little silly, but I like it a lot. But I have sought out vampire anime like over the years, and it's a little astonishing just how much of it there is. There's shit ton of it. I think in the past I would usually say Hellsing Ultimate was my favorite, but I don't think that's true anymore. It's probably Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust. That's probably my favorite one. Hellsing Ultimate, in my opinion, falls apart. Like, that story totally falls apart in the last couple episodes.
Okay. I've only seen the original TV series.
Oh, God. Well, that thing is terrible. Like, they just had to come up with an ending. But I think both endings are kind of bad. Like, I don't really like either of them. It also kind of goes on for a little too long. And I feel like Hirano kind of ran out of ideas about halfway through. It's still really good, and I still really like the characters and everything. But that one seems to have become kind of the gold standard. Like, if people bring up vampire anime, that's like the first thing they bring up.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also had like Blood Blockade Battlefront, which I really liked. People wouldn't necessarily classify that as a vampire anime, but it does concern itself with vampires quite a bit. So I would certainly put it in that box. What were some of your favorites? There's been a lot.
So for me, when it comes to vampires, like, the only way to make it really fresh is when you're either delving really hard into the aesthetic, like the whole like gothic romance aesthetic, or if they're used as a device to represent something else, like the othering of a group, or I don't know, capitalism or something like that, where it's, you know, sucking the life out of something else.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to vampire anime, though, Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust is way up there. I really love that movie. But I also really like Vampire Princess Miyu. Both the OAV and the TV series. Liked those a lot. The TV series has, you know, some kind of filler stuff. Not every single episode, like self-contained story within it is great, but it has a really good mood throughout most of it. I still really like the opening sequence to that a lot, and some of the earlier episodes, especially, I think it's the first episode, it's the one with the otaku that gets pushed off of a roof.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a really long time.
Yeah, that image has always stuck with me for a really long time. But there isn't Vampire Knight I really liked as a teenager, but that was more for the romance, intrigue, love triangle going on.
The shoujo elements.
Yeah, the shoujo elements of it. So I watched the first two seasons of that. I liked the ending of the TV series, which some people, you know, they're way more in Zero's camp or something. I never liked Zero. I always liked Kaname better because he was the more like regal prince-like one, and Zero was the brooding kind of, I don't know, emotionally stunted dude. And yeah, but the story of that's kind of spun its wheels too much at this point. It's like the author can't move on from it into another series, so she keeps like going back and like reneging on the ending or something to.
Right. Yeah. Boy, there's so many, and I think I've seen most of these. Like, just looking at a list of vampire anime here.
Yeah. Like Rosario and Vampire is one.
Rosario and Vampire. Like, yeah, I never watched that, but
I'm not really into vampire comedies. Like,
and there's like a weird number of them. Like,
yes,
there's a lot of vampire comedies.
Yeah, even in live action films, like there's a lot of vampire comedies. When I was looking up just straight like American vampire movies that I've watched and liked for this podcast, a lot of them were, it's like, oh, I didn't watch that because it was just supposed to be funny, and I don't like my vampires funny, I guess.
I only like it if it's not supposed to be funny.
Unintentionally funny?
Yeah, like if you laugh, even though like the movie's probably not like it's so bad you're laughing at it, but like if it's like really over the top or like I laugh a lot watching Bram Stoker's Dracula, the Francis Ford Coppola one.
Right,
like,
that's on my list here for favorites.
I love that movie, but I laugh a lot because the performances are really goofy, and like that's a really goofy. That movie is extremely goofy. I would call it an extremely goofy movie, but that's another film.
Yes, yeah, it is. Yeah, that movie. I guess, yeah, it is funny in that, you know, it's Keanu Reeves.
No, he's so, like, I love Keanu from the bottom of my heart, but he is fucking terrible in that movie.
Yeah.
So is Anthony Hopkins. Like, he's awful. He's turning in, like, one of the worst performances he's ever given in that
movie. Oh, that's right. He's Van Helsing in
that
movie. Yeah,
he's just the worst. It's funny, though. Like, I don't know. That movie makes me laugh.
I like Gary Oldman in it.
Yeah, he's also.
I guess I really like the costume design or wig design. Whatever that was on Gary Oldman's head when he was really, really old.
The production value is crazy. Like, the production design is nuts, and they really pulled it off. Like, I really enjoy that movie.
Yeah.
For all of its flaws. But just looking through this list of anime, like, you know, Seraph of the End, Blood Lad. I totally forgot Blood Lad existed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the...
It's like the show. It's like Shonen Jump vampires.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, what about Blood the Last Vampire?
Right, Blood the Last Vampire, which was a big deal back when it came out.
Yeah.
I remember going to like the premiere of that. But then I never watched Blood Plus, but I always meant to watch Blood C because everyone said it was absolutely bug nuts. Did you ever watch that?
No, but I've heard the same thing, that it's just like
totally,
you know,
insane.
Drenched in blood everywhere. Like,
well, but and a particularly stupid fuck you story. Like,
yeah.
Apparently,
and now that I think about it, I have watched like half of Blood Plus, like enough. I remember enough of it. Like, Saya gets, you know, she meets her dreamy vampire butler guy, and eventually she goes to like some European school or something, and that's about where I dropped off at, is when she's at vampire girl school or something. But
right, yeah, Diabolic Lovers.
I have watched all of that.
I'm sure you have.
It's awful. I mean, but
It's just trash, right? It's just like
it's trash. Like Poppy Seed Bright is trash. Right. I mean,
yeah. Sometimes you eat trash. Like it's
sometimes
fine.
What do they call it? Dough-ass trash. All the guys are awful, horrible to the protagonist the entire time, and they're awful boyfriend material, and they should all go to jail. But yeah,
I feel like that's true for like a lot of shoujo heroes. Yeah. Like
a lot of otome visual novel adaptations, like star at least a couple of guys where you're like, yeah, that's just assault.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep watching this though.
Yeah. Wasn't there that like I Am a Vampire or something like that?
Oh
like,
yeah, I watched a couple episodes of that. That was a cutesy romantic comedy where, you know, yeah, the main girls and well, every character except for the male protagonist is some sort of supernatural being. One of them is a tiny alien girl inside a robot that's a larger version of herself. She's like literally like controlling it from inside the head.
Yeah, it's like a 90s style.
Yeah.
Rom-com, like supernatural rom-com.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I got through three episodes of Trinity Blood before giving up that show, Gonzo, back in the
days. I watched all of that one. That's the one where the vampires are from Mars.
Yeah, it's a lot. That was a long time ago. Funimation really wanted that to be a thing, and it was only
Very pretty. It was another one that like really went for that like goth aesthetic, and I mean, it had Catholic Church involved and like vampire wars over the Vatican, and Abel Nightroad is the main character of that.
Yeah, the manga is significantly more impressive than the show. The story is whatever. Like the art is kind of what you're there for, and the manga looks significantly better.
I'm sure I had a desktop wallpaper from that show.
Of course,
around the time that it came out.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's just like, oh, someone else saw the oil paintings that were done for the '90s Castlevania games that have been around. It's like, yep, no, I know where you're lifting this from.
Now that you mention it, Abel Nightroad is just sort of like a.
It's just Alucard.
He's like a squish. Yeah, like a squishy version of Alucard.
Alucard with glass. Yeah, with glasses. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Dance in the Vampire Bund.
I did not. Watch
no, of
any
course you
of
didn't.
The lowly vampire show.
I didn't touch that shit with a 10-foot pole. Sir Vamp was a thing. Karen, that was another.
I watched all of that one.
Karen?
When it came out, yeah.
For someone who doesn't like vampire comedies, you have watched a lot of them.
Yep.
You're like, you're right.
You're right. Well, I don't have a comeback to that. It's true. Yeah, I watched all of Karen. That's the one where she gets nosebleeds.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and the main male character has like a hedgehog for hair. Yeah.
Strike the Blood was a thing that had two seasons.
That's still a thing.
It's still a thing.
It's got like Strike the Blood 3, the OVA series is, I don't know, coming out, just came out, something like that. I haven't watched any of that. The girl has a stick. That's all I really know.
Right.
About that.
I haven't watched a single episode of that. Black Blood Brothers, that was a thing.
Nope, animation. But he's got a floppy hat.
He does. That hat looks fucking awful. Weird, like, pilgrim's hat.
Yes,
stupid.
I would say that the entire reason I haven't watched that
is because of that
because
hat.
I saw the key art and I was like, that hat's stupid. This looks stupid. I'm not watching this.
Now, this list that I'm looking at of vampire anime has Dance with Devils on it. Does that have vampires in it? I thought they were demons.
They're a variety.
This is a supernatural boys.
Right. Variety of supernatural boys. One's a fallen angel. One of them might be a vampire. Maybe the main one's a vampire. I don't know. I remember that for its music, not so much the characterization in it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
One of them was literally like her Pomeranian.
I think so, yeah. Boy, that show is silly. It was very memorable, though. Like,
yeah.
People remember Dance with Devils.
Yeah.
That's all you gotta do to stand out is something. Tsukiyomi Moon Phase, speaking of...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was... Didn't see that one. That's
it was
the one
popular.
Where she's a... goth loli
with cat ears and shit.
That had like a small fan following, didn't it?
It did I thought it did well. Like, it sold pretty well. Funimation licensed that back in the day, and I think it sold okay. Was she a vampire cat girl? Like, that was the...
I feel like she was a vampire that just dressed like a Harajuku goth loli. I don't think she was like literally had ears, but
no,
I don't know.
She had like cat... I guess it's like a headband.
I thought it was like a headband.
I guess it's a headband. Whatever. I know I've seen an episode of that, but I don't remember anything about it, obviously. Geez. Yeah. I didn't watch too much. I think I saw like 3 episodes of Sarah for the End, and I didn't really take to
it. I feel like I might have watched the first season of that, and I read a little bit of the manga when it came out. But I, you know, kind of dropped off of it. I remember the fight scenes and stuff being cool. But as a Shonen Jump show, it's kind of overstuffed with it's like, all right, so there's vampires, but there's also demons, and there's also bad vampires or something, and there's like demon soul weapons. That's what it is. They have like weapons that are like, it was just a lot. It was a lot.
Oh man. Nightwalker. Did you ever watch that?
I did not.
98.
But I do remember, was it Dark Side Blues?
Yeah. Not the same thing. Totally different. Totally different.
Right. Right. But same time period.
Late 90s. So
yeah,
Dark Side Blues was early 90s. I thought like,
yeah.
Oh man,
I watched that on VHS and have not seen it since.
This list that Tokyopop licensed it. It was like a brother and a sister back in the day. Like Sheep, something of the Sheep. So like,
oh, Lament of the Lamb.
Lament Sheep. Sleep of the Sheep is literally what I was thinking. Is it called Sleep of the Sheep? And no, it's Lament of the Lamb. I was close.
I always liked that from the Japanese title, you could translate it as Song of the Sheep, but they always went with the more elegant sounding Lament of the Lamb. So.
Song of the Sheep.
Song
That's
of
what
the
they should
sheep.
Have called it.
Yeah.
Totally free. That I remember that sold unexpectedly well for Tokyopop, so they tried to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, they at one point were shopping around a live action version of that.
That's what I remember. Okay.
Yeah, that was in a list column I did not that long ago where I found that out, and I was like, oh,
live action.
I mean, if anything was going to be adapted into a live action movie, it seemed like a pretty good property to do that because it's not it would adapt very easily, but. Never happened.
The live action Song of the Sheep.
Live action Song of the Sheep, yes.
Right, there was that Darkstalkers OVA, which I guess counts. Yeah,
I don't get the Morrigan fandom. I don't
know if it's fandom.
I don't get her appeal, I guess. I think her costume's silly. And
the costume is a little silly.
Yeah.
Well, she's a succubus. I guess that's what they look like.
I guess so.
Little bat wings instead of cat. Well, that's that part I like, but you're right. The costume is really like, it's like she's in the background of like a music video from the early 90s. Like,
yeah, with her sister or whatever.
With that weird like stretch fabric that it's like nylon or something that she's wearing. I can't.
Right.
Yeah, it's super nice. It's a really 90s design. They should give her something more like powerful.
She needs an update.
Yeah, armor of some kind. Some kind of I don't know, something a little bit more elaborate than that leotard she's wearing with the bat print leggings.
It looks like something like Vampire Circus.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like acrobatics in it or something.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised they haven't updated that character design, but Morrigan's like super popular because she's the sexy girl from Darkstalkers, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Then they made her accept a teenager. Then that character became a little bit more popular.
Better.
That's gross.
No.
I never watched Shiki. Did you ever watch that?
Yes, I've seen all of Shiki. Shiki fulfills my previous thing about it's a metaphor for like other and acceptance of the other, and also denial of acceptance of the other, and also the mass hysteria that comes along with change. But it's got ridiculous character designs that I feel like hinders a lot of it. Like, there's a guy who has cat ear hair. Like, he just has, like, blue hair, and the front of it is styled into cat ears in the front. He's not a cat boy. He doesn't have a tail or anything. And he wears a weird, red, ridiculous, like, leather jacket. No, it's not even a jacket. It's a onesie. It's a speed suit. A red vinyl speed suit. And everyone's kind of, like, all the vampires are, like, designed like that. They've just got really nonsensical, weird character designs.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. You can't have it all, I guess.
I guess not.
That's not.
Man, that was the
other show. That was the other show I watched while on medical leave. I watched Shiki and Be the Beginning.
Strong picks.
Yep. I think I left it up to a Twitter poll and they failed me, so.
Nah, I mean, people love Shiki. They talk about it like it's like it's one of the best horror anime ever. Like that's
how they talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I guess going back to Sirius Jaeger and Netflix before we wrap up here, I don't know. It's coming from the perspective of someone who's like, well, you know, when I consume this stuff, often I'm looking for an angle like, well, what's there to talk about here?
Right.
What's there to discuss? Because my job is coming up with content to fill the site when it comes to anime. It's hard for me to get out of that mindset and just sit back and just be, oh, well, I'm just entertained by this.
Right.
Okay. It's entertaining. But if it's I liked it and there's nothing else to say. And like so much, a lot of this content feels like that's the way it's heading. I don't know. It's a little unsettling to me that like everything is so kind of neutered from a thematic perspective.
Yeah, and I think it's disappointing too because there's so much hype about what Netflix was going to allow creators to do. Netflix is going to put all this money into the industry. They're going to allow creators to do these sorts of things, and then
yeah.
What's the delivery from that?
Well, and I'm not Devil May Crybaby. I'm not sure. Well, Devil May Crybaby, again, a lot of these, the stuff that we're seeing now, these are just distribution deals. Like, these were things that they were going to make, but so Netflix, in some cases, Netflix showed up with a big pile of money, and so that's how they were able to make the show. But in a lot of cases, they're just, a lot of this stuff, like, Devilman was just licensed. It's just distributed by Netflix. It wasn't, they didn't, they were not, like, I don't think they were on the production committee for it. They just had.
I don't know if they were on the production committee. I guess the line I'm trying to draw is like the shows that went directly to Netflix. They weren't. They didn't air on Japanese TV.
Yeah, which this
Devil May Crybaby didn't air on Japanese TV. It was
no
Netflix only, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, they paid for exclusivity on that, but they weren't. I don't think they were on the production committee. For Sirius the Jaeger, again, it aired on Japanese television half a year. Two-thirds of a year before it showed up on U.S. Netflix. So I don't think this is an example of like, well, they say they're going to have all this creative freedom and everything, but then the things that get created are just more bland, forgettable, right. You know, disposable content. But that's how it feels. That's how it's like it has a lot in common with a lot of other Netflix programming, which is bland, forgettable, but entertaining in the moment, and that's the only thing that you take away from it in the end.
Right.
I'm not saying that I need absolutely everything to have some kind of great thematic depth, but when it comes to conversation, it kind of needs to have something.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just like, did you watch this? Yep. Did you like it? Yep. All right. Next subject. And there's nothing else to say. Like, it's, yeah. So,
like a Netflix show that I watched, it wasn't anime, but I just watched Maniac with Emma Stone and,
Oh, yeah, right. And that's the the True Detective guy, right? Cary Fukunaga? Is that him?
Yeah. So I watched that, and it's kind of gave me the same sort of feel as what we're talking about with these anime shows, is that, I mean, it was visually interesting, and the concept was neat.
Yeah, the thing that I heard about it was that, like, would have been a better movie, and also strangely forgettable for something that's trying to be so avant-garde.
Right.
That's what I heard. It's like strangely forgettable.
Yeah. I mean, and I would say that's pretty accurate. You have a woman trying to deal with the trauma of losing her beloved sister. You have, you know, a man who's trying to navigate living with paranoid schizophrenia, and you got some sci-fi backdrop. A couple of characters I feel like were only created solely to be parody. Perhaps there's a scientist character and everything, and it's so over the top that it's got to be a joke. Like, he's in no way a real existing person outside of this.
I mean, I watched what did I watch? The Haunting of Hill House.
I heard a lot of good things about that. I haven't watched that one.
It was good in the end. It kind of it was the first like three or four I thought were really good, and then like by the time it gets to the end, it's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay, ghosts.
Okay, sure. Yeah, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, something like Roma, which was, you know, it was a really good movie, but like they didn't, like Netflix didn't, as far as I know, that movie had already been shot. Like, they just bought it. Like, they just right. bought worldwide theatrical distribution exclusivity to it. So, yeah, it's hard to... Because the company is also, like, a giant black box. They don't tell you anything. So
yeah.
it's impossible to know, like, creatively, why does all of this stuff feel so bland in the end? Feel so forgettable in the end? Like, why does it feel that way?
Well, do you think it's a result of the bloat, which I think we can take from entertainment as much as anime in general has had a bloat for the last couple years? Or, I don't know.
But there's a... Okay.
Maybe it's also always... been this way though. I never watched everything that was on TV in the mid 90s. Was a lot of it shit?
Yeah, of course it was. Of course it was.
Of course it was.
But now
so
we just have
really
like...
any different, or is it just more accessible because it's always on our own time schedules when we watch it? So we're not just missing something that airs at 5 p.m. on Tuesdays anymore. We can check all of it out. Yeah.
It, well, there's right. I do think it is a glut issue, but at the same time, I could tell you. Like, I watched a lot of stuff on HBO, and I could tell you things about those shows.
I could tell you things about HBO.
I could tell... Well, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I watched... what did I watch? I watched Barry, which I thought was really great and really funny and memorable, and I remember the individual episodes distinctly. The same as goes for Pete Holmes' show Crashing. The same goes for... Insecure, like HBO shows, I remember them and I like look forward to new seasons and I consume them in the way that I felt like I used to consume television. And the same, like even the same is true of Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones is just like a soap opera, but it's like a trashy, fun soap, but
yeah.
it's memorable and fun and good. Yeah. So, I remember that stuff. So I don't know if it might just be something that's happening in my head where like I've watched so much blandness on Netflix that now I just expect that. Like
right.
they did have The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which I thought was one of the best movies I saw last year. But you know,
that's been on my to watch list. So I'll have to get to that then.
That was just, it's a Coen Brothers movie and it's an unstructured Coen Brothers movie that a lot of people didn't really like very much because it was, they just let them do whatever they wanted. And it was like, oh, we've got enough material here for just this much. Yeah, I don't know. So it's an interesting phenomenon. I'm curious if you listen to this show, like what your take is on this, on the blandness of Netflix product and how forgettable and disposable all of it feels. But yeah, I think that about does it.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Lindsay for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, all that stuff. Leave us comments. It really helps the show. Thanks a lot, guys. I'll see you all next week.